Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and if this is your first time with Wake Up Call, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. We're a grassroots, nonprofit, conservative organization that advocates for minimum government and maximum freedom. We are dedicated to the preservation of free enterprise and the Constitution of the United States of America. We believe that excessive taxation upon citizens is immoral, unconstitutional, and a complete contradiction of success through the free market system. We are dedicated to serve our community, our state, and our country through oversight, research, public education, and advocacy in the legislative, executive, and judicial branches of government. We do a weekly radio program, which you're listening to now, called Wake Up Call. The purpose of the program is to bring you conservative news, to bring you news about local issues, things that are going on in local government in your community here in Eastern North Carolina. We also bring in speakers that are experts on certain subjects, subject matter experts. Today, we're going to be talking about health care a little bit. And we've been, for the last couple of weeks, playing you some clips from a presentation given by Dr. Greg Brannon. And today we're going to finish that up with his part on health care. And then we're going to hear from Dr. Jay Singleton, who is going to be our speaker this month at our regularly scheduled monthly public meeting. Remember, the purpose of this program is to inform and educate you, the public. So we try to do the best we can at being impartial. We're a nonpartisan group, so we're open to rebuttal. If you hear something on this program that you disagree with or you take a different position on, then go to our website, cctaxpayers.com. Click on Contact Us, fill out the form. We'll be certain to get back to you, and maybe we would have you on the show as a speaker to give your views and your side of the story. So today, as I said, the topic is health care, and we're going to start off with Dr. Greg Brannon and his response to a question on federally mandated vaccinations.
Let's go back to liberty and freedom and coercion and compulsion. Who should stick anything in anybody's body without them wanting it? In the story, I don't care if you believe in them. I don't care if you don't believe in them. I don't care. Jefferson said, if a person ever allows the government to dictate what food you take, what medicines you take, you'll be in a worse state of tyranny than the poor souls who are never free. No, okay. Two things I want to go over health-wise. You guys might know I'm an OBGYN, but I'm also a passionate on nutrition and diet. When I was in training, there's a thing called anovulation, polycystic ovarian syndrome, which women are a little overweight and have irregular cycles and can have babies. When I was in training, it's like 3-5%. Now it's like 40%. And so I wonder myself, where did this come from? Metabolic syndrome. Never heard of it when we were training. Never heard of these kind of things. You look back. I'm going to go back to vaccinations, the same thing. You look back. In 1977, McGovern got a bill passed that was written by Archer Minerals Daniels and Cargill, the two largest grain companies in the world, to make the food pyramid. In that committee was Dr. Atkins, who was not allowed to talk, and their scientists. Now, God made it where when you eat fat, it's three times energy. When you eat protein, better for the brain and the heart, and your body makes 30 grams of carbs a day on its own. I'm sorry I'm a biochemist, I'm sorry to know this stuff, but I do, you can't fool me, you fools. And what bothers me, in 1980, I wrote a paper on gluconeogenesis. I wish I patented it and I would have been rich, but that's another story. And myself personally, about 6 years ago, at that time I was really involved in triathlons and running a lot, and I went to my doctor, he goes, Greg, you're diabetic. And I'm like, dang. I have oatmeal every single morning, I work my butt off, and I'm diabetic. About 8 years before that, my wife called me fat. That's why I started triathlon. So that's another story. Was she around there? Okay. And so I started studying a lot and went back to the basics again. Our body does not need grains. After your body gets out 75 grams of carbs, the way God is very smart, he stores it as glycogen in your liver and your muscle. When that peaks out, it converts to adipose for later. 66% of us are overweight and obese since the mid-70s because the government told us what to eat because of crony capitalism. Vaccines, Gardasil. Four countries have outlawed it already. Four. The lady who did the study at the CDC, it was on a six-year study program, stopped the study after 14 months and fast-tracked it after it was on 100 people. She said, never give it. Never give it. Now they give it to boys, as never been studied. I'm an OBGYN. It does not get rid of cervical cancer. The pap smear, the greatest invention that wasn't even invented for cancer, but found early cells to find things earlier, they want to take away now and just do HPV testing. So you look at the studies. Now, I don't know what the answer is with this, Maddie, but there's over 200 more vaccines coming on the market. Aluminum is the most neurotoxic thing we could have. Hepatitis B vaccine is 61 micrograms of mercury when the CDC says 82 is poison. Our kids are getting now 49 vaccinations of 19 different ones in the first 5 years. When 85 was only three, and we don't know the repercussions of those. Autism was 1 in 25,000. Now it's 1 in about 50. I'm saying we should ask. So if you guys believe in it, do it. If you don't, don't. And this whole idea of herd mentality, if you're all vaccinated and I'm not, by the way, I've got all my vaccinations, which I stopped about 7 years ago, but you're all protected if it works. There's a disease called agammaglobulinemia where you don't make antibodies. They get measles and they live with no problem. See, here's what's important. We're on the infancy of how vaccines work. We just found out what the genome does. We're like light years behind what God made us. Different things affect different people different ways. So it should be an individual choice. But the way God made our bodies, those who got mumps, you get them as a kid, you're fine. You get at 18 years of age, which they do now, you're sterile. Measles, chickenpox, you're fine. Because when you get a disease naturally, you have what's called a cell-mediated response, which will protect it for life. When you get a vaccination, you get what's called a humoral response, which is a short period of time. And there's no studies to prove that the amount of antibody equals the amount of immunity. So I'm just saying, let's question. And it's not the idea of vaccination is bad, it's the adjunctive stuff they're putting in there with it. MMR, you guys know the MMR vaccine? The R part of rubella, the virus is grown in aborted baby cells. Shouldn't you know that? See, so when you ask that question, Maddie, general government is defense and free trade. Healthcare? Hell no. So I must, again, the Fourth Amendment says you are safe in your persons. I've talked to the people on our Supreme Court and the legislators. They are making decisions and they have no, I don't want to hear about scientists from JSK and Merck. And I love, if you're really sick, America's the greatest. If you don't want to be sick, I think there's an island off Guam that averages like 100 years of age. Eat more organic, eat more grass food, eat more non-GMO. But you make the call. I hope that's clear, Maddie. I'm on tape, I know. But I believe in freedom and liberty versus coercion and compulsion. Give me the topic, there's my answer. Well, we're going down a path again. Let's back up. First off is, where in the federal government, U.S. Constitution, is the idea of controlling your medicines and your food? It's not there. Read the study of the FDA. Judge Napolitano wrote a great book called Teddy and Woodrow. There's a chapter on the FDA. It was basically done by his friend, Mr. Heinz, to get his Heinz ketchup approved to be his competitors. So please go read it and study it. But as to be a state issue, if us in North Carolina want the government to decide about what labeled or not labeled, that's different. It's at a state level. I still think the free market. If I want to buy a food, the companies that label it, I will buy. Those who do not label it, I will not. See, I don't want to run the government at any level to be my answer when I can make my decision.
Okay, that was Dr. Greg Brandon's responses to questions on health care. And when we come back from our break, after we hear from our sponsors, we will talk with Dr. Jay Singleton on the Certificate of Need issue here in North Carolina. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. As I said before the break, we had previously recorded an interview with Dr. Jay Singleton on the Certificate of Need issue, and we're going to listen to some of his comments now, as he is our guest speaker for the month of April. So since we're talking about health care today, I thought I would give you a preview of some of what he will be telling us about at the monthly meeting on the 21st of April, the third Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m. at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern. So here's Dr. Jay Singleton.
Yeah, Dr. Singleton, I don't know if you're aware of it, but CCTA has a watchdog committee, and I'm the chairman of it, and as such, I go to almost all the Board of Commissioners meetings, all of them I can make, and I guess in the last 3 or 4 years, I've only missed a few for one reason or another. And one of the things that's really concerned me is the health department and the way they're constantly expanding the health department and the way they limit competition from private practices by what they do in the health department. And one of the prime examples of it has to do with this certificate of need. The county had a in-home hospice business, although there are some private practices that also have that business. And they had applied for a certificate of need to the, I guess, to the state. I don't know exactly what agency controls that, but they have to get this certificate of need. And I understand it's very, very expensive, like approaches $500,000 to actually get a certificate of need. So there's not many small practices that can start up and do that. So they go after this certificate of need, knowing that at some point it becomes profitable for private practice to operate that field, and they'll find a very large medical practice that wants to do that and will pay the kind of money that for that. They had a salesman, I call him a salesman, a traveling consultant, that came to one of the board meetings, and he convinced our school board that they could get $2 million for that certificate of need. Well, when it's... the Board of Commissioners. When they actually came through with the whole proposed deal for them to buy it, for a prospect to buy it, they only paid $500,000 for it, but even that was quite a bit of money. Well, now they're going after a certificate of need for an in-patient hospice facility. And I think it's the same general thing. It kind of turns me off, upsets me a lot, when a county looks at a medical procedure, a medical business as a profit-making thing. They even claim that they make a profit from the truck or bus van that goes around and does dental practices at the school. They consider $500,000. The last board of commissioners meeting, they transferred half of the profit, I don't call it profit, from that operation to the general fund. So what we have here is the state condoning a practice, enabling a practice, in which the county is complicit to squeeze out private practices and scrape off a lot of this profit, and it really irritates me, because as Raina said, one of our goals is to enable capitalist form of government and stop this government competition with private business. And they started off by investing a lot of taxpayers' money at risk, and you don't really know how it's going to turn out when they get into it. And their staff keeps growing, and what they get involved in keeps getting larger, and it's a huge amount of taxpayer funds that go into this health department, and a lot of it's tied in with the certificate of need thing.
Definitely.
I know of a person, I have a good friend, who's she writes some of the regulations to do with health departments in another state, in Virginia. And I heard her say one time, the regulations that I write have the effect of law. You know, that just goes against my grain. The legislators enact laws, and regulators, the people who are in the departments that regulate these laws, should conform with the laws and not expand them and make them greater, make them tighter, make them stronger. And I know you've had experience in this field. I'm anxious for us to kind of pick your brain, see where, if, you know, if you agree with what I've had to say, or if you could give us some guidance along these lines. I'm not certainly not an expert, but I've seen enough of it to question it.
I've seen a lot of it too. So basically, I agree with you. When you, if you don't have legislated law, then there's no system for checks and balances of the law that's made. And if somebody says, if somebody makes up a law that they can enforce on their own and you can't even do anything about, all of a sudden you're in a corner. You know, at least if we go through the legislature, there's a way to go through the legislature again. I know there aren't, the problem with the folks that you're talking about is they'll make a law and they won't abolish any of the previous laws that make things easier to do. They just stack them on an ever-growing scaffolding that becomes more and more unstable as it gets higher. And before long, nobody even knows what's going on. The certificate of need is, for me, it's even more nefarious than what you've seen. The county seems to be the one that the state is kind of protecting against private business. Now, if you go to what us physicians go through, it's even worse. The hospitals. You think the county's got some money. Hospitals, you know, if you look from Tidewater all the way through to Duke, Wake, UNC, Vidant, our hospital.
East Carolina
is extremely powerful. You know, I'll you know, we are recording this, so I will stay away from any figures, even though I do know them. You know,
We know they have a lot of money.
Yeah, and you know, if anybody in the administration was listening, I would tell them the same thing. I like a lot of the folks in the administration, actually, but you know, we should have the ability to compete with our hospital with things that they're not even really that concerned about.
Absolutely.
But the era of turf of protecting your turf has been around for a long time in North Carolina. You could go to another state and you wouldn't even be having this conversation because each state makes up their own certificate of need laws. More recently, the governor of South Carolina decided, you know, I'm no longer going to fund the certificate of need. And he just said that. He's like, you know, this is not right. And so everybody went scrambling around and physicians built surgery centers. And I'm sure the voice of Chicken Little could be heard everywhere in South Carolina,
sure.
But the sky did not fall. It did not fall. The hospitals are still making record profits, even with this certificate of need. Now, the legislators have gone back and said, okay, we can't just have no certificate of need because of lack of funding. We have to have certain laws here. And they've gone back and they're trying to change the laws, but they're changing them in a rather nice way. I mean, they're saying, okay, we do need a certificate of needs to protect really small areas and not run hospitals out of business that are serving small communities. And I believe in that. I mean, you know, you can get into a situation where a hospital is kind of like the Walmart of hospitals, where they move into an area where you've had all of your doctors that you've always loved and the hospital that you've loved. And, you know, someplace maybe you can't get out and you can't go places and you can't just every time you have a problem, drive the 1 to 2 hours it takes to go to where you need to care. That hospital is very important to you. And a hospital, a large hospital, can just move in, put up satellite clinics because they're not for profit. You know, they can buy things with the same legitimacy as a church can. And they can, they're tax free. They can build that there where a private individual has to build it at risk.
Right.
And they can run that person out of business to, in the future, close that facility down. It's like a hostile takeover, or to run it themselves for profit. So, you know, I don't believe in the power that they're given. So to be more specific, in my situation, to get a certificate of need in this state, first of all, you have to prove that there is need. And I brought you guys some documents to look over. They're amazing. As you read them, the way that they decide that there's need or not is really hard to follow. Each year they talk about, you know, there are this many operating rooms that are in need in North Carolina. They almost never say that there are any more rooms that are needed. They say, well, in fact, there's a surplus of upper operating rooms. Carolina East is said to have over 4 surplus operating rooms, which basically just means that, and by the way, you can't find these rooms. They're given to the hospitals. They lie dormant. There's nobody in there, but they protect the hospital against somebody looking for a certificate of need. Every time you raise your hand.
So they overbuild on purpose?
Well, they don't even build. They just have that many certificate of needs. So if you say, I would like to have a certificate of need, I want to build a clinic. They said, we'd love to, but we have 4.62 operating rooms in surplus, and we'd love to help you, but you know the law.
But they really don't exist.
They don't exist.
Yeah, they just are. They just have a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Of the physicians that actually have gotten through this for some reason or another, God knows how they did it, honestly. After I look at the law, they had to have had divine intervention. But if they actually get a CON, of those CONs, those, if they were awarded, it's very rare, if they were awarded to the physician, they're actually, if you look at it, they're used. The ones awarded to the hospitals are not used. And that, of course, indicates that that these are real CONs that these people are looking for, not fake ones to guard off competition.
Okay, we're going to pause here for a message from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Our topic today has been healthcare, and we've heard from two experts in the field, Dr. Greg Brannon and Dr. Jay Singleton, and I hope it's been informative and provided you with some insight and information that you didn't already have or that you weren't aware of. Again, let me remind you that Dr. Jay Singleton will be the guest speaker on April 21st at our regular monthly meeting that's open to the public. It's free. There's no admission. It's held at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern. That's on the corner of Pollock and Craven Street. And we look forward to you visiting with us, and bring your questions. We usually have a Q&A session after the presenter gives their talk on whatever topic we are featuring that month. Also, like I said earlier in the show, if you have an opposing view or opinion, please bring it. We are open to discussion and debate on these topics because, remember, our goal is to bring the truth out, to return to constitutional governance, and to get away from government overreach, excessive taxation, and the only way to do that is to inform the public and get them to take an active part in returning our government back to constitutional principles. So we hope you will choose to participate and be a part of that process. We also have education classes where we teach the Constitution. Excellent book, The 5,000-Year Leap. The book is $5. The classes are free. We hold those every Saturday. It's a perpetual class. Once we get through the 28 Principles of Liberty, taking one principle a week, then we turn around and start it all over again. So more information about that on cctaxpayers.com. Hope you've enjoyed the show today and that you plan on joining us again next Friday at 6:30 a.m. here on 94.1. Our program is also rebroadcast on Tuesday evenings at 6:30, so you can hear it there. Also, on our website, Wake Up Call tab, all the programs are archived there. All of them that we've done have been recorded and archived for you to go back and listen to and use as a reference. And there's a lot of other information there. Stuff going on with our Legislative Action Committee, stuff with our Watchdog group. It's right there on cctaxpayers.com. Great place to get information. You might enjoy using our aggregated conservative news source. Our online newspaper, The Watchdog, is also available from that same location. So we're working hard to try to bring you the truth, the facts, and more information. So we hope to hear from you. Go to cctaxpayers.com and click on our feedback button. Let us know how we're doing. Well, that's all for today. It's been my pleasure being with you today, and look forward to being with you again next week.